Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's up, Cowboys Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Cowboys CanFan Podcast, brought to you by FanSided and the official podcast of thelandryhat.com. On today's episode, we are joined by our good friend and host of the All Even Podcast, Barry Grant Jr. We basically talk about the Brandon Cooks trade throughout this whole episode. It was really fun. It kind of spiderwebs off into what does the Brandon Cooks trade mean for the rest of free agency? How will that change our draft board at the 2023 NFL draft at the end of April? All that and more. It's a great time. You can find Barry Grant Jr. online. Just search All Even Podcast on YouTube or any of the social medias. He will pop up. And then for us, well, this is our Sunday live show. We do a show on Sundays at 3 p.m. PST, 6 p.m. EST or 5 p.m. CST. And then we also do a show on Wednesday at 6 p.m. PST, 8 p.m. CST, 9 p.m. EST. I got that out. But basically go to anywhere on any social medias at Cowboys Can Fan. You can follow us there, or on YouTube or Google, just search Cowboys Can Fan. We will pop up. And both us and All Even Podcast Barry Grant Jr. are part of the Grid Network, so you definitely want to check that out as well if you like more than just the Dallas Cowboys and want to hear a bunch of intelligent, brilliant sports minds chat all types of sports. Check out the Grid Network. That's GRYD and then the word network. All right. And that's it, I think. Yeah, we can hop right into the podcast. Let's go. Right.
Big day, big day, big day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just bring that down, Anth, because I want to let you speak. You're O-O-O today.
I'm O-O-O, and I can't hear the music, so I don't know when we're stopped, so I kind of usually let one of you guys lead out, but I guess we're done with the intro. I guess everyone could hear me in the pregame there, but that's all good. Before we get into this, let's crack one for the big trade today, boys.
Woo! Crack them if you got them.
Crack them if you got them, son.
Or sipping. Hey, sipping.
Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys for a fifth-round pick this year, 2023, a sixth-round pick in 2024, and then the Texans even ate some of the cost. That's pretty. Hey, man, I'm just going to say it right now. I think it's a good trade. I know there's obviously two sides to everything, but I don't hate it. Yes, we kind of all wanted a different guy, but I don't think it's a terrible trade, and I think the front office is trying, at least.
What I think is really funny about it, like, is what the Texans wanted, what, 3, 4, 5 months ago, and what they ended up getting for him is pretty funny. I'm not saying that they would have gotten what they were asking for. Obviously not. That's not the case. But quite a difference in value, or what the package that the Texans ended up getting at the end of the day.
Well, people were screaming for us to trade for him last year before the trade deadline. I mean, the only reason we didn't was because of his guaranteed money and his guaranteed salary. So it is nice that got switched around a little bit. Is that Barry Grant joining?
That is, yeah.
Is he in here? I know Barry is not happy with this trade, but realistically, this front office wasn't giving up a number two for anyone, and they're penny pinchers. Stephen Jones, aka Cap Boy, aka Bandwagon Boy One,
Cap and Cap.
We just know that he doesn't make those moves. So I still think Brandon Cooks can help this team, even if it's not the deal or the player that a lot of us wanted.
Yeah, well, we're, you announced him, but let's officially welcome a Barry Grant Jr. of the All Even podcast and a brother in arms on the Grid Network. Barry, we were discussing in our own personal Grid WhatsApp convo today, but I think it's a better conversation to have out here on the air where we can let everyone in on our secret conversation. So, first of all, give us your initial thoughts. And maybe, I don't know if things have changed since we chatted earlier today, but go ahead, give us your rundown.
First off, don't try to give me no pleasantries, okay? No type of pleasantries. I'm coming in here to fight and fight you, okay? What I have here is my briefcase of evidence, okay?
Oh, jeez.
My briefcase of evidence, okay?
Is it empty?
I'm going to open this briefcase, and I'm going to reveal what is in this briefcase. So I can fight AJ today. This is what's in this briefcase, okay?
Oh, shit. Now, snap. Okay, I see.
Let's go into the conversation. So when the trade happened, you know, I broke it in the chat, and I wasn't happy about it, right? Because let's just get this out of the way. Brandon Cooks is a very, very good football player. That's not what we're disputing here. He's good. He's one of the few receivers that had what he has 6,000 yard receiving seasons in 7 or 8 years or whatever it is.
Yeah,
he's a very good receiver. The problem that I'm having is that, and also the value that the Dallas Cowboys got him for, great, right? The problem that I'm having is that he is an over the top type of guy, right? Speedster, he's a little undersized, and what we need is a big body receiver, a guy that can be able to run good routes. Brandon Cooks is not a great route runner. He doesn't have an extensive route tree. He doesn't. And Dak Prescott is a timing quarterback. He needs things to be timed. Everything has to be precise. He doesn't have the great footwork. So if a guy needs to be there, he's going to be there. This is why I was just angling, pleading, begging for D-Hop, because D-Hop is the perfect quarterback eraser. It doesn't matter who's behind center, he's going to catch the football. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter what play it is. It can be a broken play. D-Hop will be there because he has sure hands. He runs some of the best routes in the NFL behind Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams. Those are things that a guy like Dak Prescott needs. And if we're going to go all in for the next 2 years, why not get him? And he's right there for the taking. So if you gave up a fifth and a sixth, why not just pony up the third or the fourth and go get D-Hop?
Barry, you know why.
We know why, but I was trying to explain to AJ this morning that reason, and he didn't want to listen. He did not want to listen to us being Dallas Cowboy fans for a long time.
Well, I turned off on the call. I was starting to listen to Barry, and then as soon as he called my boy Alex out for when Barry said the words, "I've been a fan longer than you," I was just like, okay, and now I have to automatically side with Alex as much as I don't want to.
it wasn't a slight at Alex. I was basically saying that he hasn't seen the gaslighting as much as we have seen it over the years of being a Cowboys fan, right? Like, he's still in that honeymoon phase where things are going good, the team is looking good, they're winning games, it's fine. We have seen a different version of the Dallas Cowboys way before this, and we came from a era where Jerry used to make big deals. He went from making big deals to not making any deals after that car deal. So it's like, all right, cool, you know what we need. And it's like, okay, we made a trade here. Is the fan base happy now? And everybody's, oh, we got Brandon Cooks. Not realizing that Brandon Cooks helps, but he doesn't really put us over the top in regards to what we really need. And that's where I'm coming from. I like the trade. Hey, it's a good trade. But, man,
Sorry, Barry.
The big mishap. But go ahead.
No, okay. So I would say, first of all, because you guys have been scorched so much, that's why you have the different outlook. I'll totally agree with that. Now, no one can really argue, though, that history aside, this year has been a really good offseason. And I know it's only my third one with the Cowboys, but, you know, I've read enough in the past and heard enough from other from everyone else in Cowboys Nation that I know it's they don't they're penny pinchers, and I get that. This has been a good push, a promising push, and I'm not saying go ahead and apologize to the front office, but let's be happy with what's happening.
Yes.
I'm still not against getting D-Hop if it comes on the board, if that was an opportunity.
That's
even
gone. That's gone.
I'm just saying it's gone. It's not gonna happen. But I'm saying if it was still there, I'd still say go for him. So I'm not against D-Hop either. But I do see Cooks as a massive upgrade in on that position. It was a position that needed to be renovated. And Absolutely. Now let's also, I mean, look, guys, let's look back to week one. Who put the Dallas Cowboys put out on the field, football field week one? Do you remember?
Yeah, of course we do.
Right? Yeah. Lamb, but Brown, Houston, Fioco.
Right, yeah. Going to that point, right, Alex, going back to that point, that's exactly what I mean by us being gaslit this entire time, right? We went into the season with one of the worst receiving cores in football. Went into the season when you could have had sure veterans on the team. They had some guys in free agency that Jerry just did not want to get into, right? Cool. Whatever. That's what it is. You brought in James Washington. You saw what happened to James Washington, right?
Yeah. So, and I was big on him, and I apologize.
but timeout. Let's not make James Washington and Brandon Cooks even seem like they're in the same ballpark.
No. That's not what I'm going.
Brandon Cooks, and I know where you're coming from, Barry, because I feel the same way about everything you're saying. Like, I want a D-Hop really bad, but just watching Brandon Cooks, some of his tape today, the guy can still play.
He's on
one of the worst, if not the worst team in the NFL last year. Davis Mills was one of the worst quarterbacks. Their offensive line was one of the worst offensive line. The guys had 1,000 yards with four separate franchises. I definitely think with us going towards a West Coast offense, he might not be the best route runner, but those speedy guys across the middle, they're invaluable in that type of offense. And I do know, I totally get what you mean. The Cowboys were never doing a D-Hop trade because they didn't want to look wrong about the Amari Cooper trade. This now, it's like, okay, we got a guy who's decent for a fifth and a sixth. See, our trade last year of Amari Cooper wasn't as bad as you guys think it was. That's they're trying to take a little bit of
sting.
They're trying to take a little bit of sting off of that Amari Cooper trade. They're not going to trade for a second for D-Hop when people are going to be like, well, you should have just kept Amari Cooper instead of trading for a fifth.
Yeah. But that's not even where I was going to go in regards to the regular, like how it started, right? So we don't have a receiver. We go into the deadline. We're looking for a receiver, right? We tried to get Cooks at the deadline. We all know what happened. Jerry Jones didn't like the deal that was there. He didn't take it. Then we heard, time ran out, right? We all know what happened. But my issue was you brought in Hilton. You brought in a veteran receiver. I think that you could have did that prior, but it's always about price for Jerry. And that's the thing that bothers me is that these guys were there already. So could you imagine if we would have had a T.Y. or another veteran receiver to start the season? We probably wouldn't have had those issues in regards to who's getting open or Noah Brown getting 55 catches this year. Noah Brown would have just been a blocking receiver like he's supposed to be, right? Yep. So these are my problems in regards to – like it has nothing to do with Brandon Cooks. It's just about how they go about business and they tell us that they're doing the best they can when they're not. And we know that. That's the problem that I'm having. So this Brandon Cooks deal, it's a home run deal. It's a good value. They are paying $6 million out of the $18 million, so we're only playing 12. And that's great. That it's all home runs for the Cowboys at this point. But me, I'm always looking ahead. I'm always, my vision is always wider. And I'm like, we still need a big body route running receiver. This guy is going to be able to help with the underneath stuff because he's very good in regards to like the first 5 yards. He can get separation, but we need somebody to be able to make plays when the play breaks down. And a lot of times plays break down, receivers have to come back to the ball and make something happen. And a guy like D-Hop makes those things happen. That's why, me and AJ were going back and forth with Odell. Odell has that type of ability, broken play, big play ability. And those are the receivers that we need. We need somebody like that.
But do you think, like, I don't know. I get the D-Hop argument, but the Odell argument there, it's a bit harder for me to side with. Like,
yeah.
I honestly don't think Odell and Brandon Cooks are that much that farther away from each other. I think D-Hop is the type of wide receiver that we're missing, whereas, like, I still don't think – I think D-Hop's in a higher tier than OBJ.
100%. 100%. I mean, D-Hop is in the Davante Adams type of category, right? What I'm saying is that OBJ, when he's on the field and he's right, he commands attention. Brandon Cooks, when he's – obviously, he's a good receiver, but he doesn't command that type of attention. You saw what the Rams offense looked like pre-Odell and then after Odell.
Right.
It made everything easier for everybody involved. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of factor that guys like that bring. Whether you're going to see Odell wherever he lands this year, he may not have a, you know, 1,500-yard season, but just the essence or the aura of Odell being there, just him being there, is going to open it up for everybody else. And that in itself would be great for Dak Prescott, because it's going to open up the field. It's going to allow guys to not double team as much and not sink into a zone. And we all know that he has problems reading the zone at times. So those particular things, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking ahead.
You know, so yeah, you're pretty, sorry, AJ, you go.
We want that big body receiver for sure. But if we're looking at it on a checkboard, Cooks checks off a lot of things that that we can utilize. So
100%.
I also think let me put this scenario. If we traded a second for D-Hop, he checks off one more box at the very least, which would be the big body receiver and probably a few other things too. However, with this Cooks deal, we still have that second round pick. And I don't know how accurate the actual mock draft on PFF is going to be, but there's a handful of really good or potentially really good big body receivers available in that second round if we choose to go that route. So this has an impact on the draft. And what I mean to say is, with Cooks, we can still go and get that big body receiver with the second round pick instead of kind of getting putting two of those eggs in the DeAndre Hopkins basket.
Yeah, I get that part of it, AJ, but I think we were having the conversation as well, is that is a sound plan, but I don't want to rely on children. that's just my thing. Like, I rather, if you're going to get a guy like Hop and you know, he's going to check all of those boxes, you can find somebody that can be able to play a Brandon Cooks role, right?
Totally. And, like, and there's more Brandon Cooks type receivers in the draft that have that same speed and that ability.
Exactly.
There is like a DeAndre Hopkins. So that's the one thing that is weird about the trade. It's funny that you bring it up. It's the one kind of weird thing for the trade, because I find that there is a lot more slot receiver type guys in this draft. So I feel like you probably could have found one of those guys.
Absolutely.
But then you're going first. Easier. Then you're going first or third round with that. And I don't like, the second round just feels like a sweet spot for that pick.
And mind you too, we have to remember, Turpin is still here, and Turpin can have a bigger role in the offense that he should have this year, because the guy's a weapon. Now, he's not just a punt returner or a kick returner. He can be able to catch passes, and just like how they used to, I'm not comparing him to Tyreek Hill in no way, shape, or form. But when Tyreek Hill was a rookie, nobody saw Tyreek Hill coming. They just knew that he was fast as hell. And putting a guy like that in certain situations on the field is going to keep your defense honest. And that's why the Chiefs were so dynamic that first year with Tyreek Hill, because you didn't know what the hell was going to happen. If he was going to be a decoy, if he was going to take the top off of the ball, like all of those things. And the fact that we never used Turpin this year really did our offense a disservice, honestly. So I'm hoping that next season he can be able to be a little bit more involved in the offense. And then you're going to have your underneath receiver, your weapon, your gadget guy. And, you know, you still are missing that big body receiver, that short thing.
But
you know what I mean?
I guess I was going to say Kansas City's never really had that guy, but they have Kelce, who's basically that guy. So
he's basically a wide receiver and a tight end all in one.
So are you guys against maybe There's a lot of, this is another thing. There's a lot of good wide receiving tight ends in this draft.
Yeah.
And maybe this, maybe that's a route they're deciding to go possibly in the second, like AJ.
It's possible.
Do you,
yeah.
Would you take a big receiving tight end in the second now with us getting Brandon Cooks instead of say an OBJ or a D-hop?
Yeah. If they're, so I'm trying to get this point across in a way that people will agree with me. So you guys tell me if it works for you, okay?
Okay.
If you're
no.
if you're drafting a tight end for the tight end position, then you definitely cannot overlook blocking. But if you're drafting a tight end to play more of a receiving weapon, then you can overlook their blocking. And in that, though, of course, you would want to have a playbook that is set up for that, so you utilize that strength and you can get away with having, you know, an extra blocker or losing that extra blocker and having to move the ball quicker. So in that kind of package, I would be drafting a tight end, but I'd be drafting him as a receiving weapon in that case. And, yeah, and I think that exists.
Yeah, of course.
For sure. Definitely.
Oh, hi, I'm Fake Jerry Jones. Whenever I'm relaxing in my office, I like to listen to the sweet serenade of my favorite Hawaiian tunes while I check out the latest Cowboys Can Fan podcast. This one has been a gooder. Anyways, these boys need to pay some bills, so hang on while we get through some ads. Well, now that those ads are finally over, we can get back to the podcast, and I can get back to salting my McMuffins. How about them Cowboys?
I agree. And you know what? A lot of blocking, you're never really going to take a tight end in the top four rounds who's predominantly a blocker. I feel like a guy that squeaks in the fifth to seventh is basically picked up by his blocking abilities, where you're hoping that you can kind of teach these guys how to block. I don't think they're blocking much in college. I think most of these guys that go in the top high rounds, they've put production on the field. So most of these guys that you get coming out, like a Dalton Schultz in the fourth round, and the tight ends we got last year, they're decent at blocking. So if you're going to gamble on a guy, definitely go for the playmaking ability on him.
Right.
Because
I agree with that.
I think that's a way that you can also get a big body. Tight ends are just naturally big. And I mean, everyone wants a Kelsey. So like if the aim is to draft someone who's like that, then of course, yeah, it all makes sense. But actually having that work out and that player develop into that type of tight end, that's very rare. Otherwise, teams would be doing it all the damn time, right? We try, but...
And remember,
What's the earliest we're going wide receiver now, you think, guys? Like, what would make sense now in the draft? Second, I guess?
They can probably go a little past the second now, the fact that you have Cooks in hand. You're still waiting on Tolbert, right? Like, yep. Who knows what Tolbert is going to be? He can come back. We've seen a lot of receivers in history not get it the first year. The game is too fast for them. It needs to slow down. And then by year two, you know, they've caught up. They understand what their role is, and it's a brand-new guy. So, yep. You know, Tolbert can really step up and be that guy this year. So I don't necessarily believe that you have to reach for a wide receiver, but – if it's best player available on the board and he's there, why not? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who is that guy that we took in a couple of our mock drafts, AJ? Michael something? He was like 6 foot.
Mayer?
I can't. No.
You're asking AJ to remember a name of the and be able to tell you the name of the person that we took.
Hang on.
In one of our mock drafts.
I think he was in our mock two we took him. Adam took him, and he was the only guy that was an A for us. We took him in the fourth round in our second mock round. I can't remember his name, but he was a bigger wide receiver, and if a guy like that falls,
not Achan, not Achan,
no,
is
Achan small.
Yeah, Achan is small. Who he took. I would know the name.
Michael Wilson.
That's who Ad took, was Michael Wilson, right, in the fourth. So a guy like that, he's got some stats on him. And if he falls to the fourth, I think that's the perfect time to maybe take a gamble on a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like this trade or any trade would, like the any wide receiver trade would have had a shakeup. So, but the fact that we were able to keep a pick in each round, seven draft picks, and just gave up those two fifths this year. I mean, to be honest, I am 100% in that honeymoon phase, but I'm Barry, you gotta give me a little because I'm pretty.
I'm letting you live, man.
Okay,
it's fine.
I'm very happy with. There's still holes to fill, but just adding Gilmore, adding Cooks, and it could have been a couple different wide receivers, but this is the one who they ended up trading for. I mean, I'm pretty happy with the direction right now. A lot of it is going to come down to the draft, and I think people are shaking up their draft board now because that wide receiver position and that cornerback position have kind of been at least band-aided or plugged enough that, yeah, you don't really need to. I think this gives the front office, they don't need to make any large jumps on the board now. They won't have to feel that pressure. If wide receivers start going off the board, you can just sit there and take it. And it really increases the potential of Bijan Robinson coming to Dallas. That might not be the smartest pick, but it also is a sexy pick, and Jerry likes sexy.
Hey, man, people saying a running back in the first isn't a good way to go. At 26, at Bijan Robinson, I don't think it's a terrible thing with less losing Zeke. If you can get even close to Zeke's production that he had his first 4 years, man, from the 26th pick, we'll take that, man.
Right. And also, too, what a lot of people are not realizing is that with Zeke gone, man, our pass pro is really going to need some work this season.
You're losing offensive linemen almost.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I think that they need to really make sure that they shore up that blocking, because it's gonna look a lot different this year, guys. A lot.
Well, maybe
a lot.
Maybe in that case we just got to look the other way if a receiving tight end shows up, because
just draft that tight end just so that we can get some blocking.
Exactly.
One thing I will say about the wide receiver, though, a move that the Cowboys would have made in a few years ago, and this is why I'm kind of liking the Brandon Cooks, I'm surprised they didn't just sign Thielen or Adam Thielen or Thielen.
Hey.
Here's another one, Barry.
Well, watch it. I'm surprised they didn't just sign him and be like, okay, there's the fix. You know, like I'm still glad that they tried to at least get someone that can actually come into the lineup and still be a good player. Here you go. There's a little nibble, you know. We did something. Like, at least they did. And I'm falling right into what you're saying. They've tricked me.
Exactly. you fell right into the Pied Piper trap. You fell into it. All right. Both of you guys are going off the cliff right now. You're both going off the cliff.
Barry, it's called Canadian optimism. That's what it is. It's Canadian optimism.
Yeah, you know what?
Some of that.
Why we're so optimistic. Actually, you deal with the same thing in New York, but we're coming into spring, so everyone's like,
everybody's happy.
Oh yeah, you know, blue skies, baby.
Sun's out. Yeah, sun's out.
Here's
leaves are starting to sprout.
Here's a question I have, and it might be hard to answer because it's pretty open. But how can this go wrong? How can the Brandon Cooks trade go wrong? Like, realistically, I mean, sure, he injures himself, knock on wood.
Going to see torn ACL in the first week of training camp.
But, like, let's say that's off the table. Let's say injury's off the table.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't know anything about this guy's character. I've never heard anything bad, but he's been on five different teams, or this will be his fifth team. It seems like all the trades were value trades, like they got a lot for him, except for this last one.
Here's the thing about Brandon Cooks. It's not he doesn't have a character problem. He's not a bad locker room guy. It's nothing like that. The issue with Brandon Cooks is that he's a Jag. And what a Jag is just a guy. Yeah. He's just the fact that he are just the guy, every team is going to look at you as that you're replaceable. They can be able to get cheaper at that position, move on from you, and find a guy that could be a slot receiver that can take the top off the ball. They might not be as good or efficient, but they'll take the chance at developing a younger guy, a cheaper guy, than have you on board. That's the problem, is that Brandon Cooks has never been a malcontent anywhere he's been. He was good with the Saints. He was good with the Patriots. He was good with the Rams, the little time that he was playing with them. He was good with the Texans, but it's just one of those things where he's just the guy. You know what I'm saying?
We just need him to be just the guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like it might be good for us.
It might be good for us.
There's a lot of ifs with us, right? It's like, all right, cool. We know that CeeDee Lamb is a sure thing. We understand that. But if Michael Gallup can get back to prominence, if Tolbert can be able to show some life in regards to his NFL career, if Turpin can be able to, you know, show some signs of the MVP when he won the MVP in that other league, like, there's a whole bunch of ifs. And that's the thing. I didn't want to have any ifs. I wanted to have a sure thing. Mm. You put D-Hop there, you know exactly what he's going to do. You know exactly what the production he's going to get. And that's what I wanted for this team. Because if we're thinking about a two-year window, he fits that two-year window. And their cap hits were very, very similar in regards to Cooks and D-Hop. And that's the thing that bothered me the most, is that the cap hits are the same. And this guy is way better than this guy. Why not give that for the guy that's better because the cap hits are the same?
Well, that's what I don't understand. Like, is a second round that important? Like,
yeah, to Jerry, it is.
It's weird to me. Like, to me, it's like D-Hop saying they're saying they'll trade him for a second. Right. He's saying he'll take, like, he'll work with the team. He basically came out and said he wants to play for the Cowboys. He's on Dez Bryant's IG Live basically saying, yo, I'm here, come get me.
Micah Parsons talking to him.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's one of those moves that, it really would say we're in it to win it this year.
Right.
And that's what bugs me. Like if you get the clips of Jerry Jones, I would do anything for another Super Bowl, whatever the hell he's saying. That's not true. You wouldn't do everything.
I agree.
Because if you were willing to, you would have traded for DeAndre Hopkins.
I think that definitely, you know, makes sense. And not that it changes anything because this is the scenario, but I have to agree, like, that's a good way of breaking it down to see, because I'm looking at it from, like, a 10-year perspective, right? Like, it makes sense to hang on to draft picks because it can pay off later, but when you spin it in that sense of, like, but Jerry said this very thing where, I'm in it, I want to win now. Yeah, I guess that doesn't really prove it. If you wanted to prove
it,
you would go in with that.
You would hold
it. You trade a second and a fourth to get it if it pushed it over the top.
It's talking out of two sides of your mouth. That's all it is. I want to win. I'm going to do everything here. And then you're all like, well, I need to keep these draft picks. Like, draft picks don't help you now. We saw what the Rams said. F them picks. They mortgaged all of their picks to get a Super Bowl. And guess what? Nobody can ever look at the Rams and say, oh, man, that team is a dumpster fire now. They may be, but they won the Super Bowl. So if they're going to retool and rebuild, who gives a shit? They got the ring.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of that ego of wanting to have back-to-back wins again, because they've been there. Like, the Cowboys have been there before. So not betting the house for 1 year to win the Super Bowl and then having the
I don't even think it's that, Adam. I really don't. You want to know what I really think it is?
Yeah, I do. And then I have a couple of people in chat have been asking stuff that I've wanted to pop in, but I didn't want to interrupt anyone besides Alex. So go ahead and say go ahead and say what you were going. Go ahead and say
real quick. I'll go real quick, and then we can go to the chat. The what I truly believe is that Jerry and Steven want to win their way. They want to say, hey, we go through the draft and we don't spend in free agency and we go this way. This is our method of winning and this is what we're going to do. They don't want to be the copycat league. They don't want to follow everybody else. They don't want to follow the blueprint that everybody else is following that actually works. Yeah. They want to do something else. And that's the problem that I'm having, is that you're telling your fan base you want to win. You're telling your fan base that you'll do everything to win. You're telling your fan base that you're doing all of these things. But at the same time, you're not following suit about how the league is working in regards to big-time free agents, shoring up your offensive line, getting your skill positions, doing all of these things, mortgaging some of your draft picks, your draft capital, and winning. We saw the Eagles do it. They got to the Super Bowl. They lost, but they got there. They traded for A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's a top 10 receiver in the league.
Arguably five.
Right, exactly. Top five. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, when they got A.J. Brown, it was like, yeah, A.J. Brown, whatever. He was on my fantasy football team. He was injured a couple times, didn't do shit, and didn't really do shit as a Titan. Like, A.J. Brown. And then this year you're looking at him, you're like, damn, A.J. Brown. I like him. Well, why didn't I like him as much when he wasn't a fucking Eagle?
Yeah. He was always hurting the Titan, but the, but when he was healthy, that he was unstoppable, yeah. And everybody knew that. And that, and when I remember when they made that trade, I just put my head down like fucking
same.
Eagles.
I was like, please fucking don't Eagles. Go. Yeah, I was the same way, man. Fuck, they just got a good one. They just got a good one.
Okay, a couple of comments in chat that I want to get your guys' take on. And outside, and this is a good point. Cowboys fans for life in TikTok saying Brandon Carr ruined it for Jerry.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So
100%, 100%, he did.
Okay. You know what I mean? At some point, you got to get over that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You, and same with like Morris Clay. So two cornerbacks kind of fucked us.
Right.
You got Morris Claiborne for trading into the top 10. Yep. And then you got Brandon Carr, who we paid in free agency and was just average, right? He wasn't awful, but he definitely wasn't worth what the Cowboys.
He didn't live up to the contract. Yeah,
the contract that he did not live. I think he's the biggest free agent the Cowboys have signed in the last 20 years still. Yep. So, like, they've definitely, since Brandon Carr, they've went completely away from trying to find a big name. They've always just been bargain shopping. Yep. It's worked in some places. It hasn't in others.
Absolutely.
But it's a good call that Brandon Carr definitely gave.
It's like, you know what Jerry operates like? Jerry operates like the guy that got cheated on one time and then looks at everybody else as that they're, like, evil people. Like, yeah. Yo, just get over it. If you're going to be in another relationship with somebody, you can't keep thinking about the time that you got cheated on. Like, it just move on. Move on and treat it like the new situation. This is a new era. It's a new team, new quarterback, new everything. Just go about it that way. Like, if you're a GM, you're going to make some bad deals. You're going to make some great deals. That's a part of being a GM. You just move on. And Jerry just can't – he can never feel like he lost. That's the problem. When he loses – all the time now. Like, we haven't got to an NFC championship game in over almost 30 years. That's a problem. Yeah.
It's a big problem. I think and this is another one from Cowboys fans for life on TikTok. He's saying the Cardinals weren't going to pay that $6 million that the Texans are. So that kind of goes back into
that was a big deal. Yes.
That goes back into what you were saying about like D-Hop probably. Again, we don't know all of the backroom talks that these teams are having with each other. So it could have been a big thing with D-Hop at first, and Cardinals are like, no, we're not going to pay anything from him. So automatically, he's out of. Our buying power, you know, Steven and Jerry, we don't play that way. Like, unless someone's going to pony up and pay to have one of their players come on our team, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's stupid. My biggest thing with Brandon Cooks and the D-Hop situation here, because I actually like the Brandon Cooks trade for Fisk, because I feel like there's still moves we can make in free agency. There's still moves we can make in the draft, so I like it. I just don't like the fact that they were like looking for the same type of deal that they gave a different team. Like, you can't use that. Like, you can't use that to gauge what you're going to do for building your team if you're wanting to win the Super Bowl now.
I filled the gap, okay? There was a gap, and I had to fill it, and there it was.
And you know what? He probably was future pacing it. When he said that comment, the Brandon Cooks trade was probably basically a done deal. So he's like, okay, I'm going to get that fifth. I want to make sure people know that that's the type of deal I'm going to look for. And then 2 days later we sign. So it's kind of the way that us Joneses like to manipulate the media. My question
it is better though than, I'm not ragging on Thielen because,
Thielen's look.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
No, I'm just saying. But imagine though, if that was the signing instead, then
if I would have woke up this morning to us signing Thielen, I would have thrown my phone.
Yeah, yeah. I would.
So I guess I would have been the only one that was excited.
Yeah,
about that.
Barry,
I've been excited for that.
I like Thielen. I like
he's
Thielen.
Good, but dude, come on, man.
You're gonna You're gonna see how bad Jefferson struggles this year without Thielen. You're gonna see it.
Yeah. Guess what? Guess what? I had him on my fantasy team, and I don't think I played him more than once. He sat on my fucking bench almost the entire season.
I'm not gonna lie. He did on my team.
Exactly. So guess what? I don't want him.
I had better receivers.
I don't want him. I did have better receivers. So before we keep going down this rabbit hole, the other one I wanted to ask, and Irv Gotti 5 in the YouTube chat is saying, did we let T.Y. go? So how does T.Y. Hilton fit into this scheme? Is he gone? Are we going to re-sign him after the draft, depending on the types of moves? I want to know all three of your thoughts
probably,
on it.
He's probably going to do the same thing he did last year.
That's what I was going to say, Ant.
Yeah, he's going to sit back, chill, fuck training camp, fuck September, October, November, come back right at the right time, hop on a contender and still make a splash. That's how I envision him doing it. I don't think he's going to be back with the Cowboys. I would love for him to be back, but there's just too many of that type of player we have on the team now. Yep. I don't think he'll be back.
Yeah, I agree. I think I agree as well. I think he's one of those guys that can be able to just sit back and wait for the right opportunity to present itself. An injury happens and, you know, they have a team has some depth issues and they need a locker room guy. They need a guy that can be able to come in there, know exactly what to do and fill that role. So I don't see T.Y. coming back. We have a bunch of tweener guys like that. You know, we're if you bring him back, we're going to have a lot of small receivers. And you just don't want that type of offense because that just leads to dink and dump. And we don't really want to do that. We want to see a little bit more over the top, take some chances downfield this year. You know, we heard that Mike McCarthy's going to want to run the ball. If you're going to run the ball, then play action is going to be a big thing. So with play action, you want guys that can be able to stress the defense. So,
you don't think T.Y. and Cooks could stretch the defense together and Lamb?
I don't think that two guys that size makes a difference. You need some variations in regards to different body types in regards to receivers. That's just my opinion.
Well, mm-hmm. CD Lamb now is like our biggest wide receiver by far.
Right.
Yeah.
But CD's not a big dude.
No, he's just shredded.
Like right. Noah Brown was kind of the big guy there for a bit, you know, big blocking type wide receiver who could still get in the mix, but right now we are really missing that guy that can
Anquan Boldin, thick boy body receiver.
Anquan. We need an Anquan or even I'll take an Anquan and a Larry Fitzgerald. Let's go.
To finish the answer, I agree with the boys.
Twist it if you got him, you know.
What's the chances here, brothers, of Seti the Enny coming back for another cup of coffee in Dallas?
That would be nice.
That would kind of solve a couple.
He would be well. I'd welcome him with open arms.
Yeah. Because he's another guy that can do a lot. You know, he's a gadget guy, and you need guys like that, man. You need guys that can be that can do a little bit of everything. You know what and I mean?
He played He played good football too in Dallas.
Absolutely.
He didn't get a lot of chance in Miami. They paid him
stat 120 yards this year or something crazy.
Oh yeah.
I think five catches, 120 something yards is what he had this year, which is
listen with those two receivers, you weren't getting any looks.
No,
and well, that's the thing. The Dolphins paid him before they traded for Tyreek Hill, right?
Right, so, right. And I'm sure he was like, "Fuck." Yeah.
He got
his bag though. He got his bag.
He got his bag, man. He got 18. He got a target per week in the NFL.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
How much guaranteed did he get? And I need to see that too.
His contract.
Yeah, I don't even know what the deal looks like.
Because maybe we'll be able to get him for a little bit less. Because you know what? You get your money, but then you realize, you know what? The money's nice, but it's also nice to be knowing that I'm killing it in the NFL. Which he had a very good season in 2021 with the Cowboys. So maybe he'll come back at a bit lower of a price than other teams might pay him.
Yeah. So he got a $22 million 3-year contract. Looks like
guaranteed.
Looks like, of course, it's not easy to find, but can't see it there. But about this year, he'll be $8 million on the books. But how does that work? If they cut him,
they're gonna cut him.
He just gets the money, can sign another contract. Oh, here it is, 12.75 guaranteed.
So I mean, that's it's no chump change.
Yeah, I don't think he gets cut. I think they keep him.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you've paid him, and he definitely is a good receiver, even if they're not using him. So kind of like me on Madden, where I'll just like be greedy and stack up 3 or 4 $99 wide receivers just to like have him there in case a guy gets injured for a couple plays.
You never know. Maybe a guy gets hurt and then he's back in the lineup. And the only way I think the Dolphins get rid of him is if they target a certain type of wide receiver in the draft, and then there it becomes a numbers game, right? How much do they save if they cut him, or is that getting too much into Dolphins can fan?
Dolphins can fan. I really like Mike McDaniels, their coach. And
laces out.
Yeah,
laces out.
It looks like he'd have a $8 million dead cap if they cut him. So that I mean, it's not worth it. But a question about just moves in general. Said he could be one of them, but he's not available right now. What are some potential moves that moves that you think will happen or that you want to see happen with the Cowboys here in free agency pre-draft?
I would love for them. I mean, our running back situation Our running back situation is a little sketchy right now, so I don't know if it makes sense to bring in a veteran running back or just, you know, do all your business in a draft. But you're going to have to try to find a running back that is really good in pass pro. It's hard to find a rookie that can do that.
Yeah, well, time out right now. What running back would you grab that's currently a running back right now? Sorry.
a current free agent?
Yeah. Let me look up. Let me pull that up.
Yeah, who's on the market?
I don't even know who's out there right now.
Pop that up, because if you tell me the list, then I could be able to tell you.
Here, let me see.
There actually is quite a few good looking options, to be honest.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, but here's the thing. And, yeah, I know.
Bring Zeke back, dude, please.
That's my point. There's good options, but then it's like, well, aren't we just running into the same thing here with some of these backs? Because they're in the same position that Zeke Elliott is. In a sense, like they're hitting their second contract. They're in that 27 year range. I mean, there are a few options, but here we go. We got Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, Jamal Williams.
Sanders is out.
He's gone. Okay. Yeah. What the fuck is this?
Montgomery's going too.
Well, why is this not updated?
The crap site.
Spot rack.
Sorry, guys. We're out of that. You failed.
So the thing with Zeke, I honestly think he and his agents wanted to go out and test the free agency market.
I agree.
There is a spot that he does end up back with the Cowboys. That might be a lot of hope, because maybe he also is going to have an ego saying, I want to go to a different team and I want to prove these guys wrong. So I do think what you said, Alex, is maybe we're doing the same thing with another player as if we just kept Zeke. But it's such a muddy, muddy situation with when a guy costs too much and you end up cutting him. The running back market is shitty. Like, it's low for the market.
Yeah, it is.
They're getting paid not very well.
Damian Harris is what David Lawrence in the chat says.
I thought he got picked up too.
If Harris is out there, he's not a bad pickup, because he's not a bad running back for pass pro. So I that would be a decent option.
I thought he got franchised, or I thought I already got picked up, but I might be.
You might be right, but if he's there, then that would be a good option. That would be.
He's a very good running back.
Yeah.
What about Hunt?
Kareem Hunt is, listen, he's really, really good.
I would buy. I would. If he was on the Cowboys, I'd buy his jersey in a second. I like Kareem Hunt.
He's really special, but I doubt that Jerry's going to want to pay whatever he's asking, because he wants to be a starting running back. He wants to be the guy. I don't think that he wants to play a secondary role anymore, because he played for years behind Chubb.
Williams would have been good too. Fuck.
Right. And you know, they didn't really utilize him in Cleveland last year.
Yeah.
At all.
No. I can't see us picking up. I mean, I would pick Kareem Hunt up for a small, like, 1 year deal.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd want that.
Here's two other names: Damian Harris and Devin Singletary.
Yeah. So that's what. Yeah. Oh, so Damian Harris. Yeah. That's that. Okay. I didn't say it. One of our chat, our fellow chat member, David Lawrence, said it.
Singletary.
He's small.
Yeah. I think you need a pair. You got to pair Tony Pollard with like a
bruiser.
Hunt or Damian Harris. Like, I wouldn't go Singletary
Damian Harris is free and he's 26, so he still has got some of that young boy juice.
And he doesn't have a lot of carries, neither.
But he's going to be looking for more money than the Cowboys are willing.
Kareem or Damian Harris?
Both.
But I think that the running back position right now is so depreciated in regards to big money that you may be able to get a good running back for a very decent price, because David Montgomery didn't go for much, and he was a starting running back for the Bears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Jamal Williams had a great year, and the deal that he got was like, really? Like, that's
five,
not
– It's like, what, 5 years? Yeah, 5 years or something?
That's not that much. So it's like there's running backs, and Damian Harris is not as good as Jamal Williams, right? Like, he didn't have that type of year. So you might be able to get him for three and a half, but oh, is Jerry willing to pay that three and a half? That's the problem. Does he believe that the running back core that we have right now is good enough to go into the season? If he is, he's fucking crazy.
We like our guys.
Hey, I want to draft a running back for sure, but I think they need to pick up. I would love to have Kareem Hunt, but it makes sense. Like, you know, will the Cowboys put that money into that position? No, we're probably going to end up with. I mean, I can't even think of who else would be.
I'll gladly buy that jersey. Saying it right now. Keep the receipts. I'm just gonna go buy it and get it made for myself anyways.
just be hopeful, right?
But I would love to see a running back of that caliber.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, yeah, he's the right now. Anyways.
Are they waiting to see if they draft Bijan though?
Maybe.
Could that be what they're doing? I mean, maybe even not Bijan. I mean, you got Gibbs, I believe Alabama, is that where he's from? He's another good running back
Charbonnet.
Right, yeah, that's Charbonnet. Someone else in chat was saying sign the Alabama art running back.
So yeah. There's a few guys that they could possibly think that they could draft on day two that could come in and be cheaper than anyone that they're going to get in the free agency pool.
True. Definitely true. That might be the strategy, but then again, you know, it's risky, and then you have to make sure that you're shoring up your blocking, because that's going to be a concern, because Tony Pollard is not a great pass pro blocker. He's getting better, but he's not obviously nobody can be Zeke. You know what I mean? So we're always going to compare him to Zeke. Yeah.
Do we think that, I mean, do you think the switch is to try and, like, regardless of who they bring in, TP20 is going to see more snaps automatically, which I think
100%.
I forget what was going on. I think it was maybe his Twitter. Someone was saying that TP20 can't, someone on the Cowboys coaching staff said TP20, he can't take 30 snaps.
And then
their running back coach. Yeah. And then Tony Pollard said, what?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Give me those snaps and we'll see.
Yeah.
Right. You gotta put him in that situation, because I guess they're saying that because he didn't do that. He didn't carry a heavy load in college. He didn't do it in the NFL so far, but it's like neither did Alvin Kamara, and Kamara's a pretty good running back as well. So it's like you gotta see it. You gotta see if he can be able to handle it. And if he can, then great. If he can't, then you know what you have to use him as. You have to, you know, utilize him in a way, maybe 15 to 25 touches. You know, but if he's going to be the guy, you can give him 25 plus touches. You can. Well, you know, and I think that he needs to be more involved in the passing game this year.
Yeah,
definitely. And he is an older running back, obviously, like. You know, if that's funny coming from me, I'm nearing my 40. I'm almost 40 here, and I'm saying he's old at 26 or whatever. Yeah, he is 27. But low miles on him, right? So yeah. I think there is an argument to that, where he's had like essentially half the amount of carries that he should have in his career right now. So
flat tire, maybe even more. Right.
He did break. He is coming off a broken leg.
I forget about that because I was half cut.
Yeah, David Lawrence in the chat just was mentioning that. But just before the two of you said that, he got hurt already. So does that mean he can't? Does that mean that he can't handle the amount of reps?
It's possible. It's because that's a bad injury, man. That's bad. For a running back, that's the worst kind of injury that you can have. You know, it's better not an ACL.
Better resign him.
Yeah.
Franchise tag him. Let's see what he's got.
So, what do you feel is the ideal draft 1 through 4? We do a mock draft, of course, every Wednesday. And Barry, we're going to be doing our final mock draft. Is it on draft day?
Yeah, we're live streaming the full three days of the draft. We'll get you. Nice. We want to get you in on a few times actually. But yeah,
we're gonna have a real war room.
Yeah, we need you in a war room because I feel like you could bring a different perspective than the three of us at times. Even though we won't give you the clairvoyance of being Jerry Jones, that is going to be Alex. So guess what?
But
he's a wild card.
What I was wondering though is like 1 through 4 now that the dust has settled from today. What would be the ideal positions that we're drafting? And you could throw in players if you have a player in mind, but basically just the position that you would want to draft rounds 1 through 4.
Yeah, I'm not going to go players, but I'd go positions. I think if we can be able to get another guard in the first round, that would be ideal because depth is important. And if you can be able to have a lot of depth on your offensive line, then you can be able to get creative. I know we weren't big fans of Connor McGovern, but he was a guy that can be able to move around, right? Mm-hmm. So you need somebody that can be able to do that as well. Whether they're going to develop there, sit there and develop, or come right in and help, I think that you can never be too – you can never have enough offensive linemen. Round two – obviously you want to target running back. If you can be able to target running back in round two, that'd be really, really ideal. If his best player available, BPA, if there's a wide receiver that's a can't miss guy, is a big body guy, then you go there. But I think that the best target would be to target a running back in round two. For third round, that's where you can be able to get a little creative. I would like to see them possibly draft whether it be another tight end or another cornerback or safety or something like that. That would be ideal as well, just to shore that up. And then in the fourth round, and the other rounds going after that, if you can get a quarterback in the fourth round, I think you take him. I think you take a quarterback in the fourth round. I think that is important because although Cooper Rush got a 2-year deal, I still think that you need to draft a quarterback. You need to keep drafting them. You need to keep drafting them because quarterbacks are currency. And if another team likes a quarterback that you have, then guess what? You can be able to trade them and get more picks for them. Whether it's a conditional 4, 5, or 6, it's a pick that you didn't have before. So those are things that I think Dallas should be able to target because Bill Belichick, although he's a terrible free agent guy and doesn't really draft well, it's one thing that he does draft. He drafts quarterbacks year after year because you just need to. And every team needs to take that formula and just keep drafting them. It doesn't mean that that guy's taking your guy's job, but you never know what's going to happen because how many times have, Dak been hurt or something happens and we have nobody to turn to? And if we have a quarterback there that's been groomed, that's in the system, that understands what needs to happen and he can just step in and be good, that's what you're looking for. So I think if a guy like Hendon Hooker is there, you take him. He's an older guy. That means that he's ready. I think that he'll be able to grasp this offense pretty fast, and he's athletic enough and has a good arm and a decent arm enough to be able to be a decent backup or solid starter in the NFL. So I think those picks in those first few rounds, I think, is important for the Cowboys.
Well, the quarterback in fourth is interesting because look at Dak Prescott, fourth round pick, wasn't even supposed to be our backup.
And turned out to be our starter. Yeah,
yeah. You had Tony Romo and Kellen Moore both ahead of him on the depth chart when he was drafted. Right. Well, come week one in 2016, who's the starting quarterback?
Right.
Dak Prescott. So Dak Prescott. It does say a lot to be doing that because Dak's starting to get to that age where he's starting to almost seem like he's missing a few games every year.
Yeah.
And Cooper Rush isn't he isn't the answer after Dak Prescott. So you need to start figuring out what your answer after Dak Prescott is. And I agree. I think fourth round is the perfect area to start looking at quarterback. I don't like anything higher than that because
I agree.
I do think there's too many holes on the team that could be fixed with a top talent. Absolutely. The top 100 picks. But I you kind of did what we've been saying. We said whatever the team did in free agency, they would do the opposite in the draft. They've kind of targeted defense quite a bit. They got Leighton Vander Esch. They got Donald Wilson. They went out and got Gilmore, right? So now I honestly think they're going to try to start shoring up some spots on the O-line. They lost McGovern, right? So there's a guy that they need to now replace. So they're definitely going to be taking a guard or they should be taking a guard in the top four. They definitely should be taking a running back because they lost Zeke. And then, like you said, tight end, quarterback in the fourth. Those are all, I think, really smart decisions. And that I think the Cowboys should go that route, and I imagine they will, unless there's a dude on their board that they just can't pass up on.
Exactly. Right.
Do you think for all those years, Kellen Moore would go to Dak Prescott and say, "Remember, I gave you my starting position job."
I hope so. Just like, but in the weirdest spots, like they run into each other at the grocery store. Yeah. Or something, and that's all he doesn't say hi. He just like sneaks up behind him and whispers it.
Remember who gave you your starting job?
Right, yeah, he's looking at low fat wheat thins. Huh.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Remember who gave you your starting job?
Remember, I'm your guy.
I'm your guy, Dackie.
Adam, what do you think?
What do I think?
For drafting.
Yeah. So I definitely think round one or two, we need to get a halfback. I feel now that we've been making these moves.
Not a fullback.
I'd take a fullback. I would take a fullback too. Fullback, halfback.
Another one that I didn't say. I think we might be able to, if we can find a very good nose tackle, that would be good too. Ideal. Yeah.
Okay.
I see, like, I got a lot of people are saying Calais Campbell. Obviously, you know, he's an end. But if you can get some an interior rushing guy or interior lineman, big body guy.
Yeah, that's the interior D lineman. It has come up in a couple of our mock drafts a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with Anth. I think offense for the first three rounds, unless there's somebody like you look at someone in the second round, it's like, okay, this person should not be here. We need to grab him, and then you maybe alter your game plan. But
like Porter Jr. Porter somehow won't happen.
Man, because you imagine if he fell to us.
Yeah, you're taking him no matter what, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, right. Or even not Asu. who's the fast guy? Neil Nolan Smith. Yeah, you take someone like that where it's like, okay, you have to grab them, but. I wasn't a fan of a tight end I wasn't a fan of the tight end idea taking the first or second round, but now that we've kind of been hitting the wide receiver with Brandon, our savior Cooks, then that that thick, strong tight end could also be a solid replacement if we can't get that big body.
Tell me more about the
smash and dashing.
Tell me more about the thickness.
He's just gonna be so thick, it's gonna be so hard. I don't have any particular. I think an O lineman. Any O lineman would be great for us to fill those holes again.
So what round are you at here, bro?
Yeah, you seem to be. In the 17th round, Adam.
Yeah, because I'm.
I'm just saying position. I need a detail.
I'm Steven.
He's just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, I'm Steven Jones. I know that I'm not.
He's an ideas man.
I'm not the guy who's going to be making the decisions. My daddy's going to be making the decisions on who we actually sign.
I'm just throwing names out there.
Yeah.
Put it on. Hey, Dad, I want this guy.
Yeah, right. I think that it's
just
still,
like Christmas.
It's too far away. But I mean,
stop just saying positions to me.
Hey, first off, fuck you. Second, fuck you too.
I keep coming back to running back, wide receiver, 1-2, either way, and then linebacker, defensive interior.
Okay.
And now that is strictly based on the fact that when I draft on a PFF mock draft, that's what I pretty much. Those are the BPAs for those are the BPANs.
Barry, unless you're mock drafting with us and AJ tells us he wants to go running back, wide receiver, and then makes us draft the defensive end.
Hey, I know. Well, shit happens, but I also though love the idea of going for a guard too, because there's a couple good guards available in the second round. So like
Mosh Pit, baby.
Right now though, I feel a little panicked because I think there's too many holes to plug, and the days are counting down, and I really want, like, okay, so now we got Cooks, like that as we agreed checks off some boxes at least, but there are a lot of other boxes that need to be checked, and the more that we talk about it, like just going through this little round table here, it's like oh shit, there are quite a bit of needs. Cause even if you, once you're like, okay, great. Running backs settled. Well, remember what happened last year when Hankins and LVE went down and the right. middle of the field opened right up for the fucking Jaguars. So right. mind you, they ended up finishing the season pretty strong, but
yeah. Do you think that we would at all trade up for Bijan?
It's possible.
It'd be sweet.
It's very possible. I mean, like, you know,
I think Cowboys have alleviated the need of the front office pressure of moving up if things are getting but close with, like
I think
that.
We're more likely to move back, to be right, honest.
True.
I think we're more likely to say at 26 that Gibbs is still on the board, right? And Bijan's not. I think they're more likely to maybe move back to like 30th or 29th. Yep. Get a couple picks or maybe even early into the second. You right. never know. If they think it all depends what they're targeting, but if they're targeting a running back in the first round, which they probably won't be, they might just trade back. But there's so many good players going to be available at 26. I wouldn't be surprised even if they moved up three spots to pick the guy yeah. they wanted. Like
right.
That's the best part about the draft is you really don't know. Like look at us the year we drafted Micah Parsons, we traded back with the Eagles and you're like, what are you doing? You're trading with the Eagles. Then it's like, oh my God, I'm like, take Micah Parsons. And then we trade with the Eagles. I'm like, oh my God, we're not going to get him. And right. we still ended up getting him. Right. So the draft is such a whirlwind. And I hope it's like that this year.
At least this year we'll have like our own draft war room. So we'll have all the stats right available for us. We'll have like 18 different screens going. We'll see who's up, what the news is. Like when Anth and I were at the draft, we were fucking wasted and we were like, who
wasn't even paying attention.
We were like, oh, it's the Cowboys rubber cake. Woo! Tyler Smith. Oh, woo!
You got blinded by
it. And then I got blinded and I couldn't see.
Okay, Anth, you got to give us your reaction on him. I'm like, I don't even know anything about this guy. Okay, well, just talk. Okay, I'll talk.
Go celebrate with someone. So yeah, at least
celebrate someone.
Yeah, at least this year we'll be able to have some specific conversations as it's happening.
Hey Barry, are you available Wednesday night? Because we're gonna do our fifth version of our mock draft. I know it might be a little bit late for you, but we would love to have you in the war room for Wednesday night.
If you guys want me on, bro, I'll be there.
Oh, yeah, of course we want you on. Remember, you and I went on a date.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was very nice.
It was very nice.
The chicken was amazing.
Hey,
good conversation. Okay, so, that's code.
Before we get out of here, I want to ask all you guys to grade the trade that happened today. And I want to finish with Barry.
A plus.
Okay.
I feel like Barry's probably the most. Well, I feel like I know all of our answers, but I want to hear Barry's. So, what do you got?
A+. No, I'm joking. No. Mine's a for the situation and the actual trade for it. I'm saying it's an A-.
Wow,
solid.
I like it.
So I was also.
Alex doesn't do plus or minuses. He does specific grades, right? That is true.
That's true. There's no plus or minuses. So I have to default to B. Because,
oh, okay. Interesting.
Because of the argument brought on by our good friend Barry Grant Jr. and Anthony Bess, you guys made a good argument in that if Jerry Jones was serious, he put all the fucking chips on the table, and we didn't see him do that, and there was a lot of chatter that was an option. So
watch the Chiefs get him.
Oh, fuck me.
I mean, you know what? I'd rather the Chiefs get him than the Giants, the Commanders, right. or the Eagles.
Yeah,
keep them over in the AFC. I'd be more than happy with that. I'm just going to quickly say it. I'm going to give it an A- too, because sure, we wanted more. Obviously, a Hopkins trade would have been an A+. No matter what we did for it, it would have been an A+. But for the what's surrounding the Brandon Cooks trade, the fact that we got him for such little, the fact that they paid some of his salary, and the fact that the guy is still a burner, and I do think he can still be a 1,000-yard, five to seven touchdown type guy. I think it's an A-, but it still left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. Barry.
Before Barry, I'm going to give some community, and I say community now because we're on multiple platforms.
Love it.
And then you're living room on a Sunday night.
Show offs.
Yeah. Cowboys fan for life on TikTok says A+.
Okay.
We got Divine Gun. He says it's B even. So an even B, no plus or minuses. Grant Robinson in the YouTube chat, our community, says C+. Wow. And then now Devin Gunn is saying, okay, maybe a B+ simply because of D-Hop. And then Berto says solid B from me. So a lot of people are happy about it. Grant Robertson kind of brought our average down from our Anthony Mines A-, with his C+. It's kind of, we're in that B zone. So Barry Grant Jr. of the All Even podcast, what do you grade this move?
All right, so I have to put it all in one pot, right? So my frustrations with Jerry Jones, the fact that he gaslit me, the fact that, you know, me and AJ had a nice argument this morning, which was very healthy,
very healthy. Yeah.
I'm not gonna be too crazy about it. I would give it a B-. I think because the guy is a solid receiver, he's still I think somebody's knocking at my door. Hold on.
Sure.
Go.
Give me a second.
Yeah, go for it. Cowboys fan for life says, considering what we're paying in cap space and trade value, no way it's lower than an A. And I agree.
That's how I feel. The fifth and the sixth, and then getting him for like you got to see Juju Smith. And a bunch of other guys, they're on 11 million a year. So Brandon Cooks is at what, 12? We're going to be paying him.
Yeah,
he's right on par with any of the other top 20 wide receivers. Where I think he could be an easy top 15 type guy in the right system.
So Grant Robinson's saying there, but there are other factors. Of course, there's other factors, but as Alex, when he's nailing in on a debate, he's kind of honing in onto the actual, let's say, trade value or the specific lines of the trade. So for what it was, for who we're getting, and for the current team that we're at pre-draft, I think it's no less than an A. Barry Grant Jr. back.
Yeah, so I would give it a.
And actually, hang on, don't just cliffhanger us. Pizza guy? Was it the FedEx guy? Like, who was coming by to borrow some sugar? Like, what's going on?
It was actually my girlfriend. She's coming from school and she didn't have her keys. And you know when you have to pee and you can't find your keys.
Yep.
So she's just banging on the door. Let me in.
Oh shit!
And you're like, baby, I'm on a podcast right now. She's like, STFU, move out of my way.
she's like, I don't care. Move out of my way.
Right? Hey, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I was like, all right, it's fine. But yeah, I would give it a solid B, honestly, because Brandon Cooks, again, he's a very good player. He's not a malcontent. He's a decent locker room guy. He's always been looked at as just a guy, and that's why he's been on so many teams. For Jerry, the value that they got him at, gave him a fifth, a conditional sixth. They're throwing in $6 million. You can't beat that. So I think Jerry won the trade. But in regards to it leaving a lot to be desired, absolutely. So I can't give it anything higher than a B.
Hey, that's fair. I respect that for you, like you said, putting everything in the pot. That's a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. So I'll take that because you're a sensible guy. Because
he's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Yeah. He's consistent. He's been good on a lot of other teams. Well, Barry, we love to have you on. Barry Grant of the All Even podcast. If you guys are trying to check him out, he's on Instagram. He's on Twitter. He's on YouTube. He's on everything.
Next show's Wednesday.
Next show is Wednesday night at 6 p.m.
I will
Pacific,
be there.
9 p.m. Eastern. Barry's going to be on there for our fifth mock draft and what other crazy free agent news that pops up in the next few days. All right, for the bandwagon boys over there, holding down the fort and me looking like I'm in like a mail room or something.
Yeah, mail room, man.
Barry Grant on the East Coast. Hey, guys, we'll see you guys Wednesday.
Peace.
credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.